Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 16. Hello everyone and welcome back to the penultimate episode of Season 16. Yes, it's Episode 9 already. And of course, as we like to do near the end of a season, is to remind you the key date we will return for Season 17. And that date is the rather fitting date of Friday the 13th of September. And of course, before that, we need to conclude this week's minisode, which we will do next week. And of course, we have our season finale. And it's one I think we will all enjoy. And by enjoy, I mean hopefully be terrified by. As ever, a huge thank you to everyone who's reached out this week with your submissions, with your comments, or with your feedback regarding the show. Now, what I will say is we will never stop taking submissions. As I say every week, we now have 3 shows to fill with your submissions, so therefore length is no longer an issue. However, if you do wish for your experience to be considered for the main series of The Dark Paranormal Season 17, then we do require it to be a minimum length. And that length should be around 6 single-side pages of an A4 Word document. But my overall point is it does not matter the length of your experience. Some of the experiences we've recently covered on Dark Bites have quite literally been a paragraph in length. And they have been perfect. But what I will say, without trying to sound too much like a teacher, is it's very important that we deal with quality over quantity. So if, like so many of our submitters, you've heard other people's stories and experiences on the show, and it in some way has resonated with you, and you have your own personal experience, you've always been a bit intimidated to share maybe, send it on over, even anonymously, to contact@thedarkparanormal.com. And although, yes, of course, we receive hundreds of emails per week, we will guarantee at some point your experience will go in front of the ears of our listeners, be that here on the main feed, in a minisode or a main episode, or on Dark Bites. And speaking of Dark Bites, it's time for me to thank those wonderful team members over at Patreon that allow this show to keep going. You see, when you join our Patreon team, not only will you receive these episodes and the minisodes, both ad-free and before anyone else, but you can also receive exclusive access to our Patreon-only podcast, Dark Bites. Now, Dark Bites is released each and every Sunday of the year, even on the downtime between seasons. And with an impending break in seasons coming up, genuinely, now is the perfect time to sign up and join the team. Because not only will you get a brand new episode each and every Sunday of at least 30 minutes, but you can also gain access to the entire back catalogue of Dark Bites, which is well over 100 episodes where we discuss in detail and a bit more laid back some of the experiences which are too short for the dark paranormal itself. But genuinely, the best thing about the Patreon team, especially around these Dark Bites episodes, is the community itself. We've built a wonderful team of like-minded paranormal enthusiasts over on Patreon. And genuinely, our motto is respect. Everyone on there respects everyone's opinion. And it's an exceptional rarity within a group of paranormal fans. You will know that yourself if you're a member of any sort of social media team or group. There's always the few bad apples in there. Well, touch wood, we have not encountered that. Only support. And it's a wonderful, genuinely wonderful place to be. So if that sounds like your cup of tea, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal, just like the following wonderful new team members have. Bethany Fisher, Erica Espinosa, Ash Kay, Shannon Mitchell, Melissa Ray, Misty, Lauren Miner, Debbie, Just Me, Christina Short, Yana Denisova, Kaylin Sports, Dee Dee, Casey Perryman, Farah Jean Gwynn, Armani Akilia, Jay Guitar, Mark Clement, Jeremy Stempin, Michael Donnelly, Chloe Breakwell, Tara Schwenker, Nikki Elchan Kang, Cindy Pearson, and Chloe Bowd. Thank you so much, guys. Your support genuinely means the world. And if you like the sound of early access to debuts, finales, anything on the main feed, and access to Dark Bites, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But right now, for the penultimate time this season, lower the lights. Make yourself comfortable, and of course, leave your disbelief at the door, as we hear all about the feeding follower. I wish to stay anonymous, but for my experience, please refer to me as Sam. I guess for someone who's still a relatively young adult, I've had more than my fair share of paranormal experiences, and after listening to your show, I've been inspired to share what I've encountered so far. And yes, it's still happening. But I'll start with my earliest recollection. The very first peculiar incident that I recall happened on a typical evening when I was about 5 years old. I woke up and got out of bed for some reason, and I caught a sound coming from the kitchen, just down the hallway from where I stood. There was no clock in my room, but I'd guess the time was either really late at night or very early in the morning, but either way, it was dark. As I glanced down the hallway, a rabbit caught my eye, perched on our kitchen counter. Its eyes gleamed with brightness, and its body seemed almost translucent. I felt a sense of fear and exhaustion, prompting me to quickly make my way across the hallway and seek safety in my parents' room, where I peacefully slept on the floor for the remainder of the night. As expected, the following day, no one believed me. Throughout the years, I always noticed sounds emanating from my wardrobe and the cupboards in my bedroom. While I stayed there, I heard consistently sounds of shuffling and pounding coming from a large walk-in safe, which was located in the lower level of our house. During our 10 years there, I always had this eerie feeling of being regularly observed. I never dared to step foot inside the house unless I had the company of my parents, or at least someone else. I'd step off the school bus, and I'd quietly linger outside until my mum or dad arrived. Mum and dad would always act like I was imagining things. Then one afternoon, whilst eavesdropping on my mother's conversation with my aunt, I learned that the previous owner had mentioned that the house was built by an heiress named Laura. What's even more intriguing is that she, my mother, would sometimes catch glimpses of her casually strolling through the halls. A few days later, I told my mum what I'd overheard, and she sat me down and agreed the place was haunted. She told me of an incident where she was peacefully engrossed in a book, enjoying her solitude in the living room, when she suddenly felt a gentle touch on her shoulder. Initially, believing it to be a family member, it brought her comfort. But her fear swiftly grew when she turned around and found herself very much still alone. That house used to give me the creeps. When I was around 12, we moved to a house my dad built, in the same city, but miles away from the old house. The first night there, I recall walking round my new bedroom, checking out any nooks and crannies, and when I looked out of the window, I saw a lonesome white figure running at swift pace down the street. But there was something unnatural about this figure. At the very moment I thought, that figure does not seem human, my beloved dog, who was right by my side, ran out of the room, yelping with its tail between its legs. And this dog was a butt-kicking machine. It was weird, but I was able to fall asleep. And the next day, nobody took me seriously once more. The next incident happened the following month. I remember just laying down in bed, trying to close my eyes and fall asleep. And it was a matter of seconds before I opened my eyes and saw this grinning old woman hovering over me. She did not speak, but I heard her say,
"I have followed you."
I lay there paralyzed until she dissipated into the air. My mum and dad separated not long after, and I was initially bounced between the two, before eventually, without discussion, spending more time at dad's, and only spending the weekend at mum's. In truth, I didn't like the feeling in either home. Living in dad's meant moving schools, and initially things were fine. Even anything that could be considered vaguely paranormal kind of stopped altogether. Before long, it was time to transition to high school. And during high school, the distance between my mum and dad's house was basically equal. So sometimes my mum would pick me up on school nights, without anything being known by me. It's worth mentioning that my dad also had a new partner, and they'd recently had a baby girl. Looking back, I understand that they wanted to spend time together as a small family for a few nights each week. But being a teenager with my own issues, I couldn't help but feel like an unwanted outsider. My mum had also started dating someone, but this guy, well, was a jerk. He would often indulge in drinking, swearing, staying up late to watch football. Although I couldn't help but catch a glimpse through the crack of a door once and realise it definitely was not football. It's a memory I sadly can't remove from my brain. I didn't like this guy at all, but since I was already small for my age, I naturally expressed my dislike by giving him the cold shoulder, which I don't think bothered him in the slightest. If anything, it enabled him to feel completely at ease, without any pressure to put any effort in with me. I found myself bouncing between these houses, spending alternate weekends at each one. The in-between days were a bit more spontaneous, with me staying wherever someone was available to take me in for the night. Looking back, it seemed like they never really planned ahead. I mean, I'm sure they all did plan ahead, but that's definitely not how it felt at the time. I found my dad's place more enjoyable on the weekends. He had this certain way to make my stay feel special every weekend. So every Friday or Saturday night, he would invite the neighbours around and their kids to play board games and have a good time. They would enjoy their drinks, while us kids would eagerly await the pizza guy. It was clear that the adults were completely absorbed in their drinking, chatting, laughing and playing games, and there was no sign of any supervision. My dad would also enjoy surprising his friends. So when the board games started to get boring, he would suggest trying a séance or table tipping, just to add some weird excitement to the evening. Probably because I was about to enjoy my 16th birthday, my dad decided I was old enough to be the one to begin the tipping exercise with him. So, In that room, my dad cleared the table, moving the chairs outwards to the walls, and he stood on one side as I stood at the other end. He told me to relax, to focus, to solely think of the thought of someone else rocking the table. And so I complied. In the beginning, there was a gradual pace, and eventually the table very subtly shifted, like someone was pushing from underneath it. The table suddenly lifted from the floor, seemingly defying gravity. It's worth noting this happened on my father's side of the room. It was impossible for me to have caused that tilt towards me. And with my father only placing his palms on the table, it was equally impossible for him to do it as well. He then began asking questions and told the table to rock once for a no and twice for a yes. The conversation flowed effortlessly, reaching a point where my dad even playfully suggested an amusing challenge. He asked whoever was in charge of the table to put the table on one leg and rotate in a circle. Well, the table began vigorously swaying for a brief moment, reaching such a height that my dad had to move in order to maintain his grip. The object was balanced on two legs on my side, maintaining that position for a short while, whilst then shifting on to one leg. Everyone watched in amazement as this table all by itself remained stationary on one leg. It remained that way for a good 10 seconds before, ever so gradually, beginning to rotate. To ensure we didn't fall, we had to move alongside it, ensuring at least one of us had both palms on that table. Initially, both Dad and I were walking slowly with this table rotating on one foot, but it picked up pace, and we almost needed to go into a jog to keep up. The neighbours who were all gathered round the table were absolutely terrified by what they were witnessing. Throughout this entire thing, my dad was smiling at me a very anxious smile and raising his eyebrows. Therefore, I smiled back, fully believing this was somehow a prank. But Dad was no David Blaine, and he had both palms on that table at all times. In the chaos of the ever-accelerating table, I accidentally lost my grip, and it came crashing down, miraculously landing on all four legs, and remaining perfectly still. I can vividly recall the expression on my stepmother's face as she inspected that table. At first, it seemed she was concerned for the table itself, in regards to any damage. But her second cursory glance, she waved her arms around the legs, clearly checking for any wires or something that could have explained what everyone in the room had just seen with their own eyes. Now let's have a quick break to talk to you about Policy Genius. It's September. It's back to school for many people. You start thinking of the year ahead. Will you get those work projects finished by the end of the year? And speaking of the end of the year, you have Thanksgiving, the holidays. They're all going to be upon us soon. Your brain is a whirlwind of plans, as it should be, because we're designed to survive by planning, but we don't plan that much when it comes to the end, i.e. when we're gone. It took me till last year to get life insurance for myself. And that's because life insurance felt a bit daunting, but Policy Genius makes this process a breeze. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. With Policy Genius's technology, you can compare quotes from America's top insurers in a few clicks and find your lowest price. And if you ever need help or guidance, they have an expert licensed support team to answer your questions, handle the paperwork, and advocate for you throughout the whole process. Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace for a reason. They don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, and their advice is unbiased. Everything else aside, the peace of mind you get from knowing your loved one's expenses are covered if anything happens to you is priceless. It's never too late to plan ahead, so head over to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see just how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Today's show is brought to you by Grundy's MD, MCT Wellness. And what MCTs, I hear you say? Well, an MCT is a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, it turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down excess fat in your body. And if people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly one in three American adults overweight? Well, Dr. Grundy, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch, one that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out the excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate that caloric bypass at home. And it's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is specifically designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy it. And what's more, it tastes incredible. So you get to enjoy a delicious drink and then watch as you start to feel slimmer and more energized. So if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to grundymd.com/darkparanormal and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular priced order, plus a 90-day money-back guarantee. So once more, that's grundymd.com/darkparanormal. My father and stepmother decided to move closer to the college that I'd been accepted to. However, this would mean moving further away from Mum than we used to live, resulting in less frequent visits with both her and the jerk. Once we'd settled into the new home, we quickly noticed the sound of footsteps crossing the floor every now and then, the faint knocking on different doors of the house. From there, things only got weirder. The back door would swing open and then shut with a resounding slam. And each time this happened, it would be followed by the sound of someone walking up the stairs. My dad and stepmom told me that these sounds were just the house settling. But at night, as I settled into bed, I'd often hear deep breathing right beside my face. But my parents said that was the sound of the water heater, when it's heating the water. I would also hear my stepmother call out to me, and when I'd respond, she would deny ever calling me. And this would happen to her too. There were numerous times she would come into my room in almost a hurry and ask me why I was shouting her name. And of course, I never would be. Soon, I began discovering strands of long auburn hair in my bedroom. I couldn't get my head round this, as no one with auburn hair had ever been in my bedroom, as far as I was aware, and my stepmother's hair was jet black. My stepmother and father got to know the next door neighbours pretty quickly, and during an over-the-fence chat, those neighbours declared they hoped we would stay around longer than the previous tenants. Apparently, many families rarely stayed longer than 3 months in that house, and it was always sold, never rented. These particular neighbours had been living next door for more than 2 decades. Some nights, I would find myself waking up to the sensation of someone gripping my ankles and trying to drag me out of bed. I'd be absolutely terrified, and upon sharing my experience with my parents, they would reassure me it was just a bad dream. But then, I began to spot little bits of my hair missing, I'd be struggling to style my hair and notice a cut, as if someone had bunched some of the hair together and snipped. My stepmother now began to look worried, although my father insisted I was responsible for cutting my own hair. One evening, I was in my bedroom, and an inexplicable sense that someone's eyes were on me fell over me. I felt so uneasy, I had to leave the room. As I walked out the room, I reached my hand around to turn the light off. And when I did, I noticed a young woman was now sitting on my bed. Her hair was a beautiful shade of auburn, down to her shoulders. But her transparency was obvious. I'd never really believed in ghosts. My father was a complete skeptic and my mother was a complete believer, and I would often flip and flop between. But this was one of my I don't believe in ghosts years. And suddenly, there is one, a ghost, calmly perched on my bed. I ran to the front bathroom, closing and locking the door behind me. And then it occurred to me that if she indeed was a ghost, and all the rumours about ghosts were true, she could pass through the wall, and I'd be trapped inside with her. Aborting that plan very quickly, I ran downstairs to the living room and spent the night on the couch. The next morning at breakfast, I tried to tell my dad and my stepmom about what had taken place. Initially, my dad let out a sigh, and he was clearly about to dismiss my entire experience. But my stepmom placed a hand on his and shook her head. They both shared a quick look before, rather hesitantly, revealing they were already aware that the house was reputedly haunted. I asked who told them. Was it the neighbours? They both shook their heads, and my stepmom said that one night as they both settled into bed and switched off all the lights, they were greeted by the unsettling sight of two disembodied heads hovering above their bed, staring down on them. My dad stared at the floor as my stepmother spoke. When she finished, I asked my dad if it was true, and he just nodded his head. Both of them had witnessed these apparitions, and my dad had even acknowledged their presence. Now it was impossible for them to deny what I had seen. Dad's occasional table-tipping tricks with friends quickly transitioned into Ouija board sessions with my stepmom, all in some attempt to establish a connection with this mysterious spirit. Based on my understanding of how earthbound spirits react to a Ouija board, I'm now convinced this practice only aggravated the situation. I now think there were numerous ghosts. In fact, I'm certain of it. And I think one of them was this girl. And there was one other entity I know of. And it was that old lady that hovered over me in the old house. The one who told me once already she'd followed me. And I believe she'd followed me here too. I also believe she fed on my fear. And with whatever power she had, she also had the ability to amend people's moods and attitudes. Because soon, both my dad and my stepmom began behaving in a rather unexpected way. They'd be much more severe, both with each other and with me. And I don't just mean a slight change in temperament. I mean they would walk differently into a room where I was, and they would curse at me. And whilst doing so, they would be looking through me, as if trying to make eye contact but being unable to, like they were in some sort of trance. My stepmother and dad were many things, but aggressive towards each other, they never were. until now. Now it was usual to find them actually physically fighting most days. On one occasion, I stepped in between them just before my father was about to smash a vase over my stepmother's head. And instantaneously, they both seemed to snap out of whatever mood they were in. My dad even looked at the vase in his hand, as if to question why he was holding it in the first place. The house genuinely felt like it was under a dark cloud all the time. It was always cold, even in the peak of summer. And then we found out the devastating news: my stepmother had terminal cancer. She was told she had mere weeks to live. And she confided in me that she found the house itself had a peculiar effect on her. Curious, I inquired about what she said. I thought she would imply maybe it had led to the cancer. But she went on to recount a conversation that she'd had with our elderly neighbour whilst casually chatting over the fence. She said it was a challenge for her to resist the urge to attack the neighbour and instead return to the house. I said to her, "It's not the house, but it is whatever spirits dwell within the house." When my stepmom finally succumbed to her cancer, my dad retired and put the house up for sale. And the ghosts became especially active. We'd occupied that space for quite a while, and I think the ghosts, especially now, were very happy with the current arrangement, as in two grieving souls to feed off. One morning, my dad announced to me he was going to lower the price on the house by a considerable amount. Suddenly, my birth mother turns up out of the blue and tries to discourage him from doing so. She implied it was taking money from my inheritance, but in truth, I think she hoped he hadn't gotten around to changing his will, and she was kind of banking on the profits from the sale to buy a nice retirement property, or maybe build a home. He nodded and went along with everything she said until she left, and then he turned to me and said, "I did forget to change my will, and I'm doing it first thing in the morning." With the price of the house now significantly lower, it sold within that week. And the month after, I moved in with some college friends. Dad moved to a smaller home and said it was definitely lighter and certainly not haunted. But my follower, well, it seems to have followed me to my new home. There I was, minding my own business, getting ready to brush my teeth in the bathroom. And out of nowhere, the wash basin decided to have a mind of its own and turned itself on, only to turn itself off again a few moments later. I grabbed my toothbrush, I glanced in the mirror, and found no reflection staring back at me, thankfully. I glanced once more and noticed a bright reflection in the mirror positioned behind me. I turned around quickly, and I found myself surrounded by an empty void. The light seemed to have a mind of its own, flickering on and off sporadically, and this empty void was directly in front of me. I literally closed my eyes, ran straight through it, and into my bedroom and slammed my door shut. As it was late at night, this caused a banging on the wall from my housemate, and I apologized quite loudly. Loud enough, I hoped, to wake my two other friends up, so at least I could fall asleep in the knowledge people were awake around me, and therefore I wouldn't have to deal with whatever my follower is on my own. It's taken me over 2 weeks of repeatedly coming back to this email in order to get it ready to send, and in those 2 weeks, so much has happened I'm already beginning my second email. My most recent experience, I believe, is to do with this hag that seems to be following me. Because a friend of mine, who is also a housemate, opened my bedroom door at 2 a.m. the other morning and stood in the doorway watching me sleep for 30 minutes. I know this because I have a motion-activated app on my phone which I aim towards my door overnight, should anything supernatural happen. And although you could well argue that's not paranormal, that's sleepwalking, I questioned him the next day, and not only did he claim he's never suffered from sleepwalking, he also said he had a fine night's sleep, except for the nightmare about the old lady. Given the rate things are happening at the moment, I'm pretty sure you'll hear from me again, but I truly hope not. Best wishes, Anonymous. Well, Anonymous, thank you so much for providing our penultimate episode for Season 16. And from what you've put there, I would not be surprised if we do indeed hear from you again. But there we have it, folks. We have one more episode to go, our Season 16 finale, next week, and believe me, it will not let you down. For our Patreons, I'll speak to you again on Sunday for another installment of Dark Bites, and for everyone else, I'll see you Wednesday when we'll conclude the minisode from Tristan. And then, of course, we move on to this season's finale episode. And so, until next time, remember, when you discuss the paranormal, always try and leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you next time, right here on The Dark Paranormal.